Diva Carter Gwale is Fontagus Sportsline on Scariff Bay Community Radio. Good afternoon, everyone. You're welcome to the Sportsline here on Scariff Bay Community Radio on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM in association with Dairy Credit Union. And on today's show, joined as always by co-presenter Pat McNamara, and our guests today are our regular analysts that we have on our Scariff Bay Sportsline team in Sean O'Halloran from Bodike and Denny Chaplin from Brawford, as we look back over last weekend's championship action. And we look forward to the upcoming weekend where there's more important championship action. And first of all, before we start, we have to send sympathies to Brawford GA Club and the O'Keefe family on the passing of Joe O'Keefe, and to Clare Castle on the passing of Martin Reynolds, a great clubman, former Borden Nogue, Amont chairman, and to the Harrison family in Tulla on the passing of Seamus Harrison. Seamus, whose wife Olivia, very good to us in there at every game that we're at there in Dr. Terry Back. So, from all here, we send our sincere sympathies and may they rest in peace. Before we get into dissecting this Sunday's match and looking forward to this Sunday's match, we get a few words from the Clare manager Brian Lohan speaking to the media directly after last Sunday's game.
Yeah, sure. I hope that we do performed well for long periods of the game, but didn't see it out.
Was it that momentum arrest probably after their goal that kind of turned it a little bit?
Yeah, look, three shocking goals from our perspective. They happen sometimes, and they happen to us, and we have to respond to it now, see if we can.
Yeah, but a lot of good stuff up to that point, or is it kind of hard to see it through the fog of the disappointment right now?
Yeah, very hard to see it, very hard to see any good stuff when you perform so poorly in the last 15 minutes.
What was the change of point, Brian? You're 9th here in 53 minutes.
Yeah, sure, look, you all saw the game, like, goals change matches, and they got a couple of handy ones, and that was the difference.
Obviously questions about square balls there, what did you think?
Yeah, I haven't seen it back.
The second ball seemed to be the one that really put them on the driving seat, if you like. You know, you seem to be nearly settling down after the first one. Which
yeah, a number of... Look, there were a lot of poor goals from our perspective. So, poor defending, which we're disappointed with. But, look, it is what it is. We can't do anything about it now.
You have just 7 days now to face into a very big game. Will it be difficult to just...
Yeah, it's exact same as last year. Very poor display from us last year. But probably did a lot of positives last year as well, but a very poor result. And we were, you know, facing into going into Limerick, an away game. So, you know, disappointed for us to lose the home game, particularly having played so well for long periods of the game. Thanks, lads.
Pat, looking back, not the result we wanted last weekend.
No, you'd have said, I suppose, that about 3 o'clock Sunday, things were very, very rosy. I was on the terrace at the end, at the town end, and I said to someone beside me, when we're 9 points up, I said, a bit of this game, now we'll be still hanging on to win by 3 or 4, we'll be still tense and nervous. And when the first goal went in, I had a bad feeling, even though they brought it back to 6, I think. But 6 seemed kind of small when you consider we had such a lead. So it actually went backwards and downhill and haywire from then on. The backline got confused, and we had a couple of bad misses, David Reid in first. Look, at overall, it does look as if we were shell-shocked. It looked like when Tony Kelly came in, I wondered that all the players stopped playing. That it kind of coincided as well. So overall, obviously we'll analyse it now with Denny and Sean there and see what were the specifics. But I walked up the street to Collins Street and afterwards to where I was going to meet somebody, and I wasn't at the press for a long time, to be honest about it. But I'm sure everybody else feels the same, but we'll see why as we go along. I'll be interested what Sean and Denny have to say.
Sean, and you're in the ward yourself, and look, with your shoulder operation, but Sean, it was a hard one to take.
Yeah, it was really, especially the fact that we had played so well in the first half, and it looked as if, you know, the team were seriously well up for it, and it was in the final 10 or you know, 10 or 12 minutes. Once the first goal went in, the same as Pat says, I felt there was a turnout, there was a change, and a kind of a mood, you know, came over the team in the sense that they were a bit shell-shocked. And we seemed to never recover from it. And just when the second goal went in, that was the, I thought that was the killer. We had withstood the first goal, one goal, you know, it was, we still had was six up. But the second goal really brought it down to manageable proportions. And you were down, you know, you were down to 3 points. And that's a dangerous, at any game, especially in the game of hurling, and the speed which is being played, and the, you know, scores come fast and furious, you know, when there's only a few points in it.
And of course, Sean, Dean, the third one was icing on the cake, and it just really killed any momentum the Clare had.
Yeah, they seem to, you know, take it really to heart, the second one. They seem to lose their shape, whatever it was. The whole team, yeah, particularly the back line, they started losing their shape. I suppose they probably needed to win a puck out or win two, someone to stick up his hand and win a ball and take on, you know, run at the Limerick defence at that stage. But we just found it hard to just win that game around the middle third. But I thought Kinnaird, I was interested to see Kinnaird in the last, we'd say, 3 or 4 minutes of the game moving into injury time. And he was encouraging all the Limerick players to get in around the middle. In other words, crowd it out and make sure no one was going to win position except a Limerick man. And I think we weren't alert to that enough. You know, that was the stage where the game, where they closed out the game. There was still a few minutes to go when they got into the lead, like before they got into the lead. But they were. You know, they had all avenues covered in the sense that they closed down shop at around the middle of the field.
Yeah, and Denny, you're taking it, and you know, it obviously, you know, goals win matches, and definitely that was the case very much that Sunday. But you know, Clare had played so well, and to come away, it is hard to take when you come away with nothing after playing so well for an hour.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, we did play well for long periods of the game, but. We did. We looked like we crumbled after the first goal. We panicked. I mean, Boylan came on wing forward for Limerick. We didn't know who was picking him up. Next thing, Garrod Hegarty was standing on his own. Not once, twice, three or four times. You know, Keane Lynch started dropping back into the half back line. Won savage amount of ball for the last 20 minutes of the game. He seemed to be everywhere. Now, John Condon had a tremendous game for 50, 52 minutes of the game, but he seemed to tire, you know. Same with Peter Duggan, maybe. We seemed to tire in vital positions. And, you know, I thought we panicked a bit. Did we need to make changes? Was it a case that we were trying to get some mileage into Tony Kelly's legs and Paul Flanagan's legs? Did we need to make them changes? To me, I don't think we did. We were hurling well. We were 9 points up at one save. 9 points up was what, 15 minutes ago. I don't believe that we needed to make a whole load of changes. We ended up making 5 in the last 15 minutes. The one change I would have made wasn't made until the very end. I would have definitely brought someone in the half-hour line, like Aaron Shanahan, into the half-hour line to start contesting the ball with Peter Duggan. He was the only man we had on all our puckouts for 50 minutes. He was contesting every ball. And, you know, you could see it. He was just out on his feet come the last 10, 15 minutes. And I felt that it was into the half-hour line we should have been bringing Aaron Shanahan, because we all know he's a tremendous man in the air as well. And it just needed another avenue. We needed to get to grips with that middle third. As Sean said there, they crowded it. But we more or less made it easy for them. We didn't contest the ball in the last 20 minutes with the same ferocity as we had done. You know, and maybe that's easy to say because we were probably, you know, there's no doubt people were getting tired, but Limerick were getting tired as well, you know, and it's probably a testament to Limerick's physical strength and physical fitness, you know, that they were probably, they finished just as strong as they started, whereas I just felt we were wilting in a lot of positions, and the physicality of the game seemed to take its effect on us. And then the nature of the goals, I suppose mentally they were draining in themselves, you know. We have to question the first goal, the second goal. You know, should ever have done better. I would have felt he should, but you know, other people said to these, he said that I never played in goals now, and I'm not having a go at a goalie. But I just felt at that level, if you're coming for a ball, you come for it. If you're not coming, you stay on your line. You know, that the first goal, I thought he was caught a bit in no man's land. Should Conor Cleary maybe have done better on the dropping ball? Maybe he should, but he seemed to be wrapping up your man and letting the ball through, Gillane letting the ball through. But, you know, and then when the goals did go in, it was like the air went out of the balloon. It was just deflation, and we kind of looked dead on our feet all over the field for the 5 to 8 minute spell there where they got them scores. You know, okay, we finished, I suppose, and maybe I'm contradicting myself here now, but we finished coming at it again in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. We did try, and, you know, the other thing I felt was we had a man, Shane O'Donnell, I thought was superb, and we just didn't feed him with enough of ball, you know. And then when he had it a couple of times, we didn't support him enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it is like Shane shows his ability. That goal in the first half for Aidan McCarthy, to Shane, that was all down to Shane O'Donnell. He won the ball, he beat 3 defenders, and he literally put the ball on a plate for Aidan. And no, he finished it, fair play. But, you know, we didn't create another chance like that. We didn't, even though Shane won other balls, we didn't support him in the same way. We didn't make the runs off his shoulder. And, you know, they're disappointing things. And plus, you know, we're defeated now, and we have to look forward to the weekend. And that's a big worry. Like, can we recover in the week? And, you know, it's, I suppose it's easy to be critical. I don't want to be overcritical. We're all... We want to do is see Clare winning again the weekend, you know. So we don't want to be overcritical and everything. We know that I as well as anybody else, we know the effort these guys are putting in, and it's just a pity that it ended up that way for a match that we snatched defeat from the jaws of victory instead of the other way around, you know.
Yeah, and there's no doubt, Sean. Look, it is a mental battle this week, you know, and there's no doubt that. The whole, like, even as Denny said, the air went out of the balloon. Not only did the, you know, the air go out of the players last Sunday, but the crowd just went completely dead for that 7 or 8 minute spell. And credit them, like, they did come back, but like they just left it too much to do. And Limerick had of course they had all their avenues closed, you know. But I suppose we have to give credit to Limerick, though, right?
Yeah, you have, really. And I think we have to put it into perspective as well. I think, we must remember in the first half, Limerick had 5 or 6 very poor wides, and I happened to be near a few Limerick supporters, and they were going crazy because of the fact they were missing so many easy, what they considered easy scores, which normally that Limerick forward then would be tipping over, you know, they would have got majority of them anyway. But it wasn't that we were totally dominant, you know, Limerick had their chances as well. But I thought after half time, Limerick came out in a rejuvenated team, and as Denny rightly says, like Cian Lynch, he started to get a grip on the game, and you know, started breaking tackles, and as he does so well, hand passing and flicking with the left hand and bringing more people into the game. And Clare never found a way to curb him, I thought. But as the game wore on, he got more and more into the game. He ended up with getting a great point, you know, shoving towards the end of the game as well. But he was anonymous in the first half. I thought John Conlon had a huge game.
Yeah, yeah.
In fairness, no, I thought he played really well. And Dale McInerney actually did well, but his man still was getting a few points. You know, even he cleared a lot of ball, but he just, you know, as a unit, our six back seemed to be bothersome in the second half. We seemed, you know, Danny Pines thought about, you know, Hagerty going inside corner forward. And he was inside there, as you say, a couple of times on his own. No one seemed to be picking him up. There was something, lack of communication, I suppose, was the biggest problem.
I think, Pat, you know, and there's no doubt lack of communication, but definitely mentally win the goals within. And look at any goalie can have an off there, or, you know, and we have to question the referee's decisions here as well. You know, there was definitely two of the goals. Definitely one was definitely a square ball. The first one was marginal. Maybe you'd contest it, but, you know, obviously the second one, Ava will know whether he should have done better with that. But, you know, after putting so much effort into it, And then, you know, you'll find it hard to come back again, that they were just gone.
Yeah, it was I thought the nature of the goals was it. I think the thing that really hit the confidence and you know, made people so jittery and downhearted, and the Clare crowd so silent, because neither goal was particularly well worked by Limerick at all. I mean, Burns' Free was mishit, and Burns' Free happened about 15 or 20 yards back further, but Fitzgerald went tangling with, I forget who he fouled, was it Kyle Duncan? I forget who it was. And Lyons brought the ball forward about 25 yards, and
actually.
Then Burns seemed to miss it, and it was just going on the crossbar level, and I was behind it, and I didn't like the look of it. I left it early because I said, "Genie, here we go now." I hate these lowish balls going in, like especially high ball dropping down is different. Then the second goal was no bullet, and it could have been cleared.
It hopped up off the ground.
Yeah,
no right, to be fair.
And yeah, it did. And the third one, I mean, you'd be very cross in junior level if you left a corner forward on his own twice. This is to get over Hegarty, a hurler of the year and a man who's a leader for Limerick. The nature of the goals, I think, totally sucked the life out of everybody, including the players, but also the crowd. I said, if Limerick got three brilliant goals, it was a fair play to them, you know, but they weren't. The other thing I thought was, there was a few other lads who had great leagues, didn't really have a good championship game. So Diarmaid Ryan would be one, I thought. David Fitzgerald another. Probably David Reedy. His two misses, I thought, were vital. The 2-point misses he had in the second half might just have been enough to keep us ticking over and, you know, set Limerick back a small bit. But those two misses, I'd say they were around when we were still hanging on by 3 or 2 or 3, 4 points, whatever it was. There were two after each other. I thought then, if we're going to be lumping high ball in, we might as well have Shannon in a lot sooner, whether he was in as then. He said the half forward line or full forward line didn't matter. If you want to be lumping high ball from our own 20 metre line, which we were, 25 yards out, we're not playing it through any lines now, we weren't able to, I'd say, at that late stage. Have Shannon in under him, have Duggan under him, and Shane O'Donnell is decent enough. One thing I noticed in the second half about Shane O'Donnell, after all the brilliant work he had done, he did win a couple of balls, and there was at least four Limerick lads around him, and as Danny and Sean said as well, no Clare bent to be seen. So, but Limerick knew what they had to do, because the other Clare forwards hadn't been threatening enough. Really wasn't threatening enough. Even Peter, who worked like a savage, wasn't threatening to score, and neither was David Fitzgerald. So Limerick said, sure, I'll be doing surround O'Donnell. He set up most of the scores in the first half, and they did that. And even as good as O'Donnell is, he's not going to beat 3 or 4, and he nearly did a few times. So, look at goals like that. If you're going to concede 3 goals in 15 minutes in a game, late in a game, you're going to probably lose it. Now, as the nature of the goals were, they were all preventable. I mean, if you have someone marking the normal way, Hegarty, the same as any game, only a middling cornerback, he wasn't at least going to get a free shot. And instead he was there all his own, one of the best forwards in the whole country. So it was the nature of those goals, I think, sucked the life out of us, sucked the life out of the crowd. And I mean, let's face it, if you give those chances to a fairly goodish team, they may or may not punish you and beat you. Limerick are a top team, huge team, and they are a great team, whether we like it or not. If you give them that kind of a break, what does they ever give a sucker an even break? So I look at the goals are the story of the game, really. I think the way we give them away, and it's as simple as that. Whether they can fix that for Cork and make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen, that's a test though for management and coaching, as well as the players themselves.
And Danny, do you think, as Patty even says, mentioned the coach and the management, do you think maybe they took their eye off the ball maybe with that time gone, and they started maybe looking ahead to Páirc Uí Chaoimh next Sunday and decided that, God, we need to get minutes into some of those leagues? Do you think maybe that was a point, or I
absolutely do. I think that was the whole reason behind bringing on Tony Kelly, was to get game time into him. Whereas I think it had the opposite effect. Limerick knew, you know, Tony Kelly is Clare's match winner for the last 10 years now. He's one of our greatest ever hurlers. Limerick was set up. They knew Tony Kelly is coming. This is it. We have to lift it now, you know. And whether we like it or not, they are a superb team. They're as good as anything we've ever seen. They're up there with the great Kilkenny team. They are a superb outfit. Physically, at the peak of their, you know, they're at the peak of their physical fitness now. And they were ready for that. And it seemed to galvanise them and lift them more so than us. And I know we can. I actually thought Cullum Lyons had quite a good game on Sunday. I thought he gave us a good lot of all frees. Now were, you know, okay, you can say they were fouls, but you'd see a lot of them let go as well. And like the square balls, as Cusick said on Sunday night, he said they watched the second one 10 times before they could decide that yes, Gillane was in the square. Well, the referee doesn't, or the umpires don't have. I don't think we can blame the referee for the square ball call either. It should be the umpires if we're blaming anyone. You know, they're standing right there. And the first one, first goal, Gillane was in the square. But how many goals are scored every Sunday with full forwards, heels inside in the square? You know, he was in the square, but he wasn't
blatantly
inside on the line. Do you know what I mean? He was barely over the line. So I, and in fairness to Brian Lohan and the care management, they're not making an issue of the square balls because I think they know there were soft goals conceded, irrelevant to where they were standing. And as Pat said there, and rightly so, it was the nature of the goals. And, you know, we can't be coughing up goals like that. No team can cough up goals like that and hope to win.
Yeah, and Denny, looking at the subs that Limerick brought in, you know, they lost Mike Casey after 10 minutes and the next thing they're able to bring on the defender of the class of Sean Finn, who's only coming back from a serious injury as well. You know, and no, it took Finn a while to get into the game, but I think in the last 20 minutes he really showed his class.
He did, and you know, he's again, as you said, a superb player. All the Limerick substitutions on Sunday seemed to work for him. You know, it was one of those days, everything clicked. Your man came in, wing forward, Boylan, English made a huge difference when he came in. These fellas, every one of them made a difference to the player, to the game. Unfortunately, we didn't have our subs didn't have the same effect. You know, Tony, while he got on a bit of ball and scored it, he's visibly, you can see he's not the Tony that we know. He's not buzzing around the place. I don't think Shane Meehan offered anything when he came on here. I don't think there was a game for him, and it was not best. Mark Rogers was doing fine. I don't think we improved anything in that move. And Dan Shanahan move just baffled me 2 minutes ago. They might as well not put him on at all. You know, expecting him to go in and catch the one ball that was going to be hit in him and get a goal. I think it's very unfair on him. I thought, I think Pat said it there, some of our players on their league performances. David Fitz, for me, last Sunday was probably the worst game he's played in the Clare jersey. Even though he got 2 points, I thought he contributed absolutely nothing. And I thought, looking at Limerick, Kyle Hayes was actually there for the taking last Sunday. He was unsure of himself. He wasn't getting involved in anything. And we never once ran at him. He didn't take him on. We didn't contest the ball in the air with him. I'd say 3 or 4 of our puckouts he went up on his own platform. You know, you have to question, where was David Fitz with them balls? Why wasn't he inside under him with him? You know, and I know I'm not singling out David Fitz, but he had such a good league. It was awful disappointing to see the performance on Sunday. Likewise with Dermot Ryan, he had such a good league. Like, he was probably one of our players of the league. He never got forward once last Sunday. And maybe we're not giving enough credit to Limerick. They had their homework done and they had these fellas nailed down, do you know what I mean? But we can't be worried about them, we're worried about ourselves, and just our performances from some of them weren't good enough. Like, as we also said there, David Reedy, the 2 chances after half-time, fine. But the goal in the first half, he's 1-1 with a goalie, he's 10 yards out, and hit it straight at him. An inter-county hurler has to score that goal. Has to score it.
And Sean, Denny's right. Look, when it boils down to, Limerick took their chances and Clare didn't.
Yeah, the reality of it is we weren't clinical enough up front. Okay, McCarthy's took the ball away really well now, but Shane O'Donnell, he left it in the play to him now, in fairness. I just thought...
McCarthy played okay though, Sean.
Oh, he did. I didn't think he actually should have been taken off either.
No.
You know, I think he was one man. He was hurling the top of his game, and he was capable of getting the score if he got a chance. But we've got to be ruthless up front. When you get a chance, as we say about David Reedy, you just have to put that away. And Shane O'Donnell is the great creator of those scores, but he's not really the finisher as such. You know, you can't win a ball, win your own ball, have to go through three defenders and put it away as well. But in fairness, the pass he gave to,
brilliant,
that was unbelievable. I mean, like,
the speed of thought, even.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He just has ulterior vision, you know. He picks up, he sees players that I often wonder how he catches them at all. But, you know, I suppose the end of the day, I said earlier, the midfield play, our own midfield, Limerick closed up shop for the last 10 or 15 minutes, and they pulled all their big players into it to make sure no puck out was won by Shane O'Donnell, by any Clare player really, and with the result that we were struggling then to get forward to get any type of a score.
And Pat, you know, the key to all these Limerick defence, and men, I don't think he has ever really got the credit he deserves, is the Limerick centre-back and captain, Declan Hennon. I thought even last year when Limerick was struggling in the championship in 2023, he was by far and away their best player until he got injured. Again last Sunday, you know, he's so accustomed to that role,
yeah.
And he's passing, giving the ball off to the runner all the time. And of course, obviously, to pass it, you have to have willing runners, and Nash and English had that, and Lynch had that in abundance. But he really is key to all that.
Yeah. The one thing we're watching Hennon is he's the most unflustered player playing hurling at the moment. He's not always dominating games, but nevertheless, when it comes to push comes to shove, he'll nearly always come up with a couple of balls, you know, take them maybe from the fullback or the cornerback, take a look, and he'll either give the short pass to someone running to open everything up, or he sees a lovely 30, 40 yard pass inside, or maybe throw one over himself. I do like watching him, even though he's a Limerick man, but I mean, you know, as hurling lads, you have to admire wood players, wherever they're from, and I just love watching Hennon. As I said, unruffled, and calm and assured, big physical unit as well, but that's not his main asset, you know. But I suppose they often refer to him as the quarterback, who just has to stand back and take a quick look and see what's happening all around him, and he has that type of vision and that type of play. So despite, you know, he's moving on, he's a fair bit of mileage on the clock now. It's the first time we saw him in Croke Park was a 2013 semi-final, he stalled the freeze against us, that's a fair while, and he was around for a year or two before that as well. I'd say an awful lot done, but so what do you do? You know, Mark Rogers, I thought, was having a goodish, had a good first half, in fairness to him, and he threw over the two in the second half.
Two
and
points,
I thought it was a mistake taking him off. He wasn't, maybe he'd dominant himself, he wasn't threat. The one that he was Quaid saved the shot in the first half.
Yeah, good save.
I don't know, was there another yard or two that Mark could have gone with that one? I'm not sure. Just to get eyeball him, you know.
The posse came in quick enough.
They did. You see, this is all the ifs and buts. And I mean, it's very easy to talk. We are looking as if we were all able to score three goals in a Munster Championship game. I mean, it is easy to chat. But look, we're only going through it and trying to explain what happened and trying to analyse what happened, I suppose. Couple of other things I thought. Again, Barry Nash for Limerick is something that he brings to them as well. You know, he seems to be able to play his game no matter what's happening. However it is, they can get him into the game. And later on, he was involved as well. Finn, as you said, the same thing. The only thing I'll say about it is the 9-point lead was false in the sense that Limerick should have been closer to us by half-time or maybe level, going by the shots they missed. So really, I suppose, in the overall game and the shots they got to take but didn't score, were we as far ahead of them in general play? And I don't think we were, even though we were playing out of our skins and our backs, the tackling was unbelievable and we were excellent. But Limerick could have been within a point or two of us at half time. And if they were, then you were talking about an even second half and they pull away anyway. So, or maybe pull away. So the 9 points was a bit false. But I tell you, to concede the last 3 goals and 6 points that in no time was a shock and worry.
Yeah, and I suppose, Denny, that's the end of it. 3-6 to 2 points, I think, was the score for the last of it. And we're looking ahead now to Páirc Uíomh on Sunday, and it's a big battle for Clare. And look, at obviously, it's probably the best time to have the match, that you don't have time to dwell too long on last week, and you have to just focus on getting the performance on Sunday.
Yeah, it's probably a massive game now, and you know, if Waterford beating Cork, it doesn't help it either. Cork are in the same position as ourselves now, coming in off a defeat. The knives are out from, if you know, in Cork, the knives are out big time for that bunch of players. You know, it is another, they're looking at it as another failure. So we've seen some of the past players going out saying it's not good enough. So if there's going to be a response, unfortunately for us, that response is going to come tomorrow. And, you know, for ourselves, I think there's worrying reports that Conor Cleary is in a boot and might have a broken bone in his foot. And I don't know, I've said it before and I've said it on our show before, that have we found a replacement for him? No, I don't believe we have. So we could be heading into a Munster Championship and do or die without a recognised fullback, and trying someone again in a Munster Championship. It's not the ideal scenario. Does he stick with Aver? Probably has to at this stage. But he needs to steady down. He needs to work more on his puck-outs. He needs to get more accurately puck-outs. And I believe we need to put somebody else with Peter Duggan to win them puck-outs. You know, we can't depend on one man to be our go-to man for the whole game. It's not possible. No matter how good he is or how much he tries, not possible to win every ball he's pucked out.
Sean, looking at, you know, to follow on Denny's point. Sorry, Denny. Yeah. Look, follow on Denny's point there, right? He's 100% right. Obviously, you can't make wholesale changes because they got so much right for 60 minutes. You know what I mean? And, you know, there isn't. It's just about tweaking things maybe a small bit. But we have to win. We cannot concede puckouts like we're conceding and just having the possession coming back, ball just coming straight back down on top of you. And also, Cleary, we saw what happened when Cleary's loss was gone last year. You know, we didn't feel the vibe really. You know, to no fault of who went in there, you just came up against top test forwards. We could be very much back in the same scenario again.
Yeah, but I kind of tend to look at the positives in the sense that, you know, Cork are in the same position as we are. We were in the same position this time last year against Tip, we got badly caught, you know, and goals cost us that day as well. But we recovered greatly from it, and I just feel that every one of that Clare team are hurting tonight and hurting since Sunday evening. And no doubt, you know, there'll be a response. I think myself there will be a big response from Clare. And if we can get the, you know, please God, you know, Conor Cleary will be okay, and that they'll have the full back line they would have learned from the fact that Hagerty sneaked in around that, you know, 21 yards line uncontested, and surely to God, you know, we will have that thing. Those mistakes will be addressed, and everyone will be responsible for a man for Sunday. But that was the big thing, is to win at midfield and win our own puck out. If, you know, Jenny is right, Peter was, you know, very much a lone servant in terms of ball winning on Sunday. But we'll have to get, you know, Brian Fitz, like, he'll have to have a super game on Sunday. But he has it in him, like, there's no doubt about it. I mean, his performances in the league were unbelievable. But I think there'll be a huge response, I think, from the whole Clare team. Because if there isn't, we'll be in trouble.
Yeah. Speaking of heading on to midfield, and I suppose, you know, Cork, they became a crop for blowing Walsh Park, and I suppose that ambush was perfectly set up, you know, and in fairness to Fitz in the boys, they carried it out, the letter of the law. But we're coming up again a midfielder Sunday in Darragh Fitzgibbon. He's probably the most complete maybe midfielder in the game, and can take on 4 or 5 points at any stage, and can run through the middle.
He's an awfully mobile one. Now, I just think that, actually we didn't mention it, I thought the last of Darragh, and we'll finish up with the last game and talk about Cork immediately, but I thought Darragh Lohan was a huge loss. I think he was mixing up midfield very well. We don't know who was dominating that thing. Lohan was getting tackles in, he was horsing around the place, and he was also linking up play, he was picking up ball and giving it to lads. I thought he was a huge loss, especially in that last quarter. And maybe to, you know, he's a really common player and a good midfielder. He's not probably going to be fit so tomorrow. So I was half wondering with Sean Rin. I thought he showed something in the league. Now, it's easy to talk about the league, but you need a mobile, fast guy, but full of energy for Fitzgibbon. I mean, Malone, I think, is beginning to slow slightly, right? A brilliant warrior, and you'd have him on any day. But I think he probably isn't going to be covering as much ground as he was. So you'll have to have someone that can run and do the Ryan Taylor role.
Another man, he hasn't been replaced. Ryan Taylor has just hadn't been replaced.
No, because there's talks about David Fitz midfield, and I don't know if David Fitz would be working midfield at all, considering he wasn't able to work enough the last day of wing forward, which is that bit easier. Fitz and Malone together, I don't know if that would be a great combination. Maybe Young Rain. I wonder would Perry Donlan have any half an outside shot, because I think he'd have the energy and the drive. Maybe not the experience, or maybe he hasn't been seen to be going off in training. But they'll have to try something. But I'd say the most they'll see is one or two changes. If Cleary's out, it's forced. And obviously, that alone is forced. I don't see many more changes than those replaced. Conor Lean, maybe Cian Galvin. But they're not midfield options.
Ian Galvin is an option maybe to bring out someone.
Ian Galvin, I think Ian Galvin should maybe look in the last day too. But then again, we're saying there was too many changes made, so it's hard to balance it out. Look, I suppose... we need a partner for midfield for, it looks like now, for Malone. So is it Lean? Is it going to be Fitzgerald coming back there? Or could somebody be sprung that we don't expect? But it's an issue to be dealt with. But look at Cork have just as many issues as we have to deal with. That's one thing for sure. The only thing I remember as well is last weekend, I think Sean O'Donoghue, who totally tied up a great forward, or a very good forward like Hutchinson. So that's going to be, the likes of him in there, he's going to make it hard for whoever Colin Forrest on that side as well. So you have to be ready for that as well. So look, it's fascinating what's going to go on tomorrow. But I still think we're capable. The one good thing I think about playing in Cork Equivy is this. The crowd could get on Cork's back if we put pressure on them. Whereas if the game is in Ennis, our crowd could get uneasy. So I think we'll have to be playing it away, which might seem strange.
Denny, in fairness to Waterford last Sunday, it was some win, and they were perfectly primed, and maybe we shouldn't have been reading too much into the league, where they'd only half a team out most days. They had most of their players back. They have a couple of more players to come back from injury. But at the end of the day, they should have beaten Cork by more than the 3 points, and maybe it was the fact trying to just get over the line and win a championship game was maybe what was coming back to haunt them there towards the end. But look, they got the job done. Looking at the Clare team to play Cork tomorrow, do you see many changes, if any, apart from the two and four changes, Denny?
No, I don't think so. I think that, Brian, over the last 5-6 years, has been slow to make wholesale changes. I actually don't think that we need to make wholesale changes. It's just to get the balance right now, and who goes in midfield. Malone is going to be there, so who goes in with him? And who goes in fullback if we have to? It's a huge call, and it's one that we kind of have to get right. To me, they're in the market at the inter-county scene. I just love going down playing them and, shove that arrogance back at them. And I think if we go out with the right attitude, we've shown over the last couple of years against Cork, when we have no regard for the past. The history of Cork and things, we've no regard for it, and we're a better team than them at the moment. So if Brian can, get that attitude back into him in the week, which is the big one, I think if we can get our confidence back and really take the game to Cork, like I said going in last week against Waterford, I couldn't know how Cork were such overwhelming favourites. They had three forwards in Conor Lehan, Seamus Hannity and Patrick Hogan, over 35 years of age. Now, all of them have failed at different times over the last couple of years. Patrick Hogan, I'm not saying he's a fantastic Cork servant, but he's in the latter stages of his career. And I thought last Sunday was set up for Waterford. They were there for 6 weeks to get ready for it. Nothing about them, and all year they've been saying judges on the 21st of April. That was their focus since early in the year. They played all them league games with half a team, and I suppose we didn't listen to them. But they showed they had, 80%, 85% maybe of their players back last week, and they were ready for Cork. But as you said, they should have won by 10, 12 points. There's no doubt about that. It showed there's cracks in that Cork team. They don't like being ran at, but have we got the players now to exploit it? Have we got a Jamie Barron that's going to cut through the middle at pace like they had? Yeah, and that's what we need. We need that. We need to go down now, and we need to bring the game to them. But there's no, we can't wait for it to happen. We need the same attitude as the first 20 minutes last Sunday, tear into everything and be tight at the back.
And keep it going as well.
Keep it going. And like, I'm not questioning, there is no doubt about Clare's fitness. Clare won't be hit as hard tomorrow as they were last Sunday. You know, Cork are not as physical, they're not as big. Like some of the tosses, some of the body checks, Carl Malone and Willa Donoghue met twice in the middle of the field, right in front of me now. Mother of God, just like two mountains colliding. They're massive men. But Cork don't have that physicality that Limerick brought to it. So we probably go into the last 15 minutes a bit fresher, you know, than we did last Sunday. And hopefully, if we can get on top this time, we don't concede soft goals. I think we're more than capable. I think Clare are a better team than Cork. I honestly do now. And I'm just hoping that Pat Ryan doesn't make wholesale changes, as in get rid of Lehan, get rid of Harnedy, get rid of... I just hope he doesn't. I'd like to see them starting on Sunday now.
But Pat, or Sean, looking at Pat Hogan, right, and then he said, Pat Hogan, I'd say of all the scores he's got in his championship action, I'd say half of it has been against Clare. He seems to love
playing against Clare.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's no denying what Pat Hogan has done for Cork. But Danny is right, he's probably shoving towards the headland, you know, everyone come to that stage in their career. And you know, he's been a massive servant. If Cork make changes, he's probably one of the men to not start. But the reality of it is, his free taking alone is impeccable and has been over years and years and years. But going back to the Clare thing, I think if we go down on Sunday and dictate the game, get on top, put scores on the board and build on that then. That's what we have to do. And attack Cork from the start. Because I just think there's a weakness in that Cork team. There's just, as Dennis rightly points out, there's a kind of a physical, a lack of a physical presence, you know, right through the middle. Don Lowe mentioned that maybe he was there to rise up the rebels next Sunday, but you know, but
hopefully he'll have rose up more than the rebels.
Absolutely, yeah. But the spine of that team has been a problem for, you know, Kieran Joyce. Everyone thought he was going to do the job, but he, you know, there's something lacking on that Cork team. And Clare, as Danny says, has had the upper hand on that particular Cork team for the last 2 or 3 years, and we have won all the tight matches. So I wouldn't be fearful of Cork on Sunday. I think if we get set up right at the back, get the men on the best forwards, would suit. The important thing is to pick players to suit the occasion and who you're actually picking up. But Cork definitely are if Cork are allowed horror, they'll dictate and they'll bang up 8 or 10 pints in maybe 5 minutes. But we can't allow them to do that. We'll take the initiative from the start, get into the game, and then, you know, if everyone is up to scratch then, and irrespective of... I would actually think that Tony Kelly might start on Sunday. I think it could be a day for Tony Kelly, because he's hungry for hurling now, and he'd love to be out there, and he'll play well against Cork, because Cork generally
they let you hurl,
and that's been traditionally the way. And I could see Tony Kelly having a huge game on Sunday.
I suppose, Pat, he's not the end of the world again if things don't go right. But you're really cutting it very, 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 very fine. So you want to be getting something out of the game tomorrow. Again, to my point, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in, especially with Lohan. If Darren Lohan isn't going to be in the middle of the field, you know that he could come in. You know. Pat, we have to take this challenge to Cork, but Clare more than capable of getting a result tomorrow.
Yes, 100%. The only thing I'd say is, I'm sure everybody would agree, that if you're going to be seen as All-Ireland contenders, and we all hope Clare are All-Ireland contenders realistically, regardless of last Sunday, and I mean, as I said, we were certainly All-Ireland contenders after three quarters of the game. You'd say we were really favourites for it. Things went wrong then, but if we are All-Ireland contenders at all, we should be beating this Cork team in Páirc Uí Chaoimh tomorrow, or whatever it is on. Because they're not, as we all agree, great. No, they can be. If they're late, they can be great. But if we bring the same intensity and kamikaze tackling and bodies on the line like we did against Limerick for the last 3 or 4 years against Limerick in Championship, Cork wouldn't leave it that, I don't think, because they haven't got the men to do it. But they have runners and they have pace and they love the short game and they love, you know, they love the crowd getting behind them and sort of throwing over, you know, running through you for goals. Well, that bit easy to run through or middle sometimes still. And even though I thought John Collins was outstanding the last day for three quarters of the game, again, what a salvage he's been since he moved back there. With the possibility and maybe a probability of Cleary under pressure or not being there, tis something you'll be a little bit concerned about. And, you know, tis easy to, you know, Limerick fouled us the last day, even the first half. Whenever we slightly threatened to sniff of anything wrong, they give away the old foul. And I know you say you shan't be fouling too often, giving away cheap fouls, but if a Cork man is running through the building, he's hitting 30 yards out, someone needs to take yellow for the team and take him down. Prevent the goal. They'll tap it over the bar. Because if you concede goals by people running through you, all the good work you do at the other end of the field then is for naught. You know, if you concede those goals. So I would love to see, I'd agree with Sean, I think Sean, maybe if Kelly has an extra week. Now, if he was close enough to being right last Sunday without being perfect, an extra 7 days is a lot. He could be, you know, developing more, training, twisting and turning and getting bouncing off his feet again. I think if you had Kelly and Shanahan added to that forward line, you have a totally different forward line than played the last day. I think David Reedy will be very disappointed in himself. David Fitz obviously will be playing. I don't know if Shane Meehan brought anything to the game the Leicester. So I'd be looking to the likes of maybe more time for Shanahan, hopefully a game for Kelly back towards his best. But to just bring a right ruthless, nasty in your face attitude to Cork and you could win this game again. I'd say the players themselves, I think Sean correctly said as well, I think they will want to say, we want to make up for what happened last Sunday in our own patch. It wasn't good enough what happened near the end of it. Surely the absolute hurt of that will drive him on, and I think it will.
Denny, do you concur with that, that Clare are more than good enough to get the result tomorrow?
Well, absolutely. I think we have had the upper hand in Cork for a few years now. And you know, what we don't want, as Pat said there, is to give them 5 or 6 points in a couple of minutes spell, which we haven't done that now for a few years. You know, we have been physical on them. We've been man-to-man with them. And we have the pace, and this team has the pace to stick with their, you know, with the cup, the so-called pacey cup forwards. You know, Rory Hayes, the likes of this guy, Adam Hogan, they're as pacey as anything that's in the game. So I would be very hopeful that we can turn things around. As Pat said, a couple of small chances. It would be great to see Tony Kelly start, and it would be great. I believe it would be great to see Aaron Shanahan start, because I thought he was really impressed with his physique. I think he looks way fitter than he has done for a long time. He came on the league final with 10 minutes to go, and he made 2 or 3 runs, looked to be a bit of pace about him, and there's no doubt in his ability in the air, you know, and that's what we need, I think. Maybe if it's a case of put David Fitz in centre forward. Yeah. And but Shanahan and Peter Duggan on the two wings, you know what I mean? And have David Fitz running off him, because as big an honesty, he's probably not the greatest of all players in the air. But rightly, he probably staffed again. So, you know, get him on the ball. And when he's running at a defence, he's practically unstoppable. He's so big and he is fast. So, you know, if we got guys winning the ball and popping it off to him and he running off their shoulders, he could work to our advantage.
Yeah, hopefully so. Look at everyone hoping for a clear win. Sean, we turn to the other game in the Munster Championship tomorrow, and Tipperary are into the fray. And, you know, with everything they went on all week and talking about the matches last weekend, there hasn't been a word about Tipperary. And, you know, again, they'll be trying to bounce back from a very poor league semi-final against Clare. But the one thing you're going to be guaranteed with Cahill is that they're going to be buzzing for all tomorrow, taking on Limerick.
Yeah, not a word from Tipperary camp at the moment, but the reality of it is, you know, Tip will be ready for this game on Sunday, I think, because you know, they hurt very badly in the league semi final. So I think there'll be a response, a bit like Clare. There'll be a huge response, and that day, if you can recall. Their free takers just didn't perform. They're probably two of the best free takers in the country, in O'Connor and Ford, and they just didn't click. But they're if they get the chances from frees, they will do that on the big day because they are big time players. Just that things didn't go from the last year, but I still think that'll be a massive game now between Tip and Limerick.
It was a classic game in Tullamore last year.
Absolutely,
you know, 26 points each. So
yeah, that's right.
You know, you'll be looking forward to much more of the same. Well, hopefully, depending on where Limerick have recovered from last week.
Yeah. I think I'd love to be at that game, but obviously we can't be. But I think it'll be a huge game, and it'll be really backs to the wall for Tip, because they'll be the Tip public aren't happy, you know, and haven't been happy for the last couple of years. So they will look for a huge performance on Sunday, and I'm expecting that, you know, there'll be nothing in it.
Pat, the time is coming, catching up. What's your thoughts on Tip and Limerick?
Well, obviously, Tip went into a first Munster Championship game. No matter what way the league goes, good, bad, or different, and they have a newish manager and they have a team that's, you know, tradition. They're going to be absolutely hopping off the ground and tearing into the first quarter of an hour, and as you would expect. And they'll throw everything at Limerick. There's one thing I would say is that in normal circumstances, you'd say Limerick will squash them by after a while and just take over the gradually with the physicality and all that. And maybe some of Tip's players simply aren't good enough. You know, they haven't proved themselves good enough these last, you know, the lads who won 20s and that a few years ago haven't really come on that awful amount. So that's the thing. The other thing is, I'd say Limerick could be feeling the pinch after last weekend. They had to work. They had to really, really struggle to get on top of us eventually. I know the soft goals brought them into it. But, you know, they have knocked a bit out of them now. Tip are fresh. They had the fairly extended league. Okay, Limerick had that trip to Portugal. Everyone says, no, that was the wisest thing ever. And I saw some clowns on the internet saying Clare were fooling around in that league and trying to win it instead of, you know, all teams going off to the sun. That's codology. If we ignore the league and we had a bad championship, everyone say, why didn't we go bald headed for the league and build up, play Kilkenny and have a tough game? So, you know, you can't please everybody. I think Limerick probably know that they're getting that little bit more mileage than the legs. Mightn't they find as easy to recover, but I still think they'll have enough for Tip, no question.
Denny, do you give that a full house and give Limerick the nod over Tipperary?
I do, indeed. I don't think Tip are anything like the team they were. Okay, they have some good players. Jake Morris is a good player. They don't have a recognised fullback, centre-back at the moment. You know, they don't know whether to play Ronan Maher inside or outside. The league semi-final, they had no settled team. Every other team has their team settled at this stage. They were still experimenting with fellas in different positions. And I know the free tackle has missed a lot the last day, and Jason Ford and O'Connor are better, but I don't think from general play that they're as good as the Tip players that were there 5-6 years ago. Yes, they will be facing, yes, they will be hopping on, and rightly so, and having a go at them. But I still think I don't see Limerick conceding anything like 26 points at home, and I don't see them losing at home. So I'd have to concur with the lads and go for a full house with Limerick.
Lads, before we leave the Championship, and obviously the Leinster Championship started off last weekend, and Kilkenny had their facile victory over Antrim, and it beggars belief at why, you know, something is going to have to be done about the Championship in the province or some of those teams. And in fairness, Carlow put up a battle against Galway, and, you know, Wexford and Dublin in the only competitive game last weekend was a draw. This weekend, though, there's a bit of a change of Galway, Kilkenny coming to Salt Hill, and that will probably tell both teams an awful lot more about themselves, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's an intriguing contest, especially above in Salt Hill. You know, Kilkenny, you know, they'll always want to win a game. You know, there's no doubt about that. But Galway, you know, if they're ever going to make a stamp or you know, put their stamp on a championship, on a Leinster championship, they'll have to start on Sunday. Playing at home, they have flattered to deceive, but I think it's a huge game actually for Galway, a huge game, especially with at home. But I wouldn't rule out a Galway win.
And I suppose, Pat, looking at Galway, and as Denny says about Tipperary, don't know their team. I don't know, do Galway know? Maybe Henry knows his team and hasn't been playing it, but he's been doing a lot of swapping the lads here and there as well, trying to find his best 15.
Yeah, you know, Galway haven't really added any really top player to the team in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, or even the last 2 years. I can't think of any new lad that has really taking the bull by the horns.
And they have gone back for Johnny Glynn now.
Johnny Glynn, that could be, now it depends on how fit he is and everything else.
Will he appear tomorrow though?
He's a fair operator, in fairness. Yeah. It was a huge loss to him in the years he was missing.
Yeah.
But I still think at home in Salt Hill, Kilkenny, we know exactly what Kilkenny bring to the table now. We probably know the team they put over as well, close enough. We know they die with their boots on always. We know how dangerous they are in terms of getting goals and they need them, that kind of thing. So if Galway are any bit slack at all, Kilkenny will beat them at home. However, I still think that, you know, Galway at home, enough, they need to get a good win against the top team like Kilkenny and preparing again for probably the repeat in the league final. So I think we'd better not beat them and try and beat them the next day rather than losing now. If Galway lose, they'll have criticism of their own in their own fans' backyard talk as well. So I think they might just about, I mean, Conor Whelan is going to be there, and I suppose one of the players now, I think, for instance, that was coming, we thought was going to be a superstar, maybe Evan Nyland, but in general the play he's bringing very little to the table. Brilliant free taker, for instance. So that'd be one player you talk about. Loftus, the likes of Loftus and Concannon and those, I don't think they've really developed into the players we thought they'd be either. So it might be a struggle, but I still just think Galway might just do enough at home to win.
Denny, you know, Galway, they're notoriously hard to beat in Salt Hill, and I think this is a more important game for Galway tomorrow than Kilkenny. Denny, do you concur with that?
It probably is, but it's just, I feel, you know, he's gone a few years now. I don't think they have replaced Joe Kelling. Probably impossible to replace Joe Kelling, but I don't think, Sean said it there, they have no marquee players. They're flatter. Some days they're brilliant. There's not, you know. But if anybody is to go to Salt Hill, maybe in Lord of Flag, it could be Kilkenny. I have a sneaky feeling Kilkenny could take this one.
And I suppose, Sean, maybe finally before we close up, Kilkenny will probably want to put on a marker tomorrow. And, you know, Galway really are their main threat to success in Leinster. They'll be trying to put maybe more question marks into their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and no doubt Kilkenny have bigger fish to fry down the road. They won't fear anyone. Kilkenny never do, and they have been, you know, badly beaten in the two All-Ireland finals, and I think they're hoping and you know to get back into that zone, into an All-Ireland semi-final, and if they do that, and they'll know that, you know, they're capable of beating Limerick, beat them well, and they won't fear Limerick or fear anyone. In fact, Kilkenny don't do that, but the Kilkenny supporters are hurting too, you know, from those All-Ireland final defeats, and they will be very anxious to get to atone for them and get back into that realm of at least a semi-final.
Finally, before we leave to finish the programme, Sean, we forget about the hurling for a second and we look forward to the game tomorrow. Great news breaking during the week. Munster football final in Cusick Park.
Yeah.
That's another occasion to savour.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And sure, listen, it's brilliant to have it on home territory. And it'll give Clare a huge boost to you know, what beginning to contest in Limerick or to take it on Kerry. Now, they'll obviously be up against it because Kerry, even though they struggled against Cork last Sunday. Or that's the reality of it,
yeah.
You know, or last Saturday. Kerry haven't really moved on a lot. They haven't got, you know, they're still dependent on those couple of great forwards that we have, you know. I don't know, they're lacking something. They're lacking a cutting edge.
They're not the same Kerry team.
No, they're not the traditional Kerry team, you know, going back 7 or 8 or 10 years ago. But Clare have a young outfit and they're very impressive against Waterford, but, you know, put great scores on the board. You took a huge good. I mean, what they scored was it?
220.
220. Mm-hmm. I mean, when has the Clare football team scored 220 before, in all fairness now? But reality of it is, you know, they have, you know, they did very well in the league, and now they won't fear Kerry going into Cusick Park. They'd love to take him on and give a right cut at it.
It is a location to save a pet and have a cut at it and see what happens.
It's brilliant to get the home draw. I mean, if you're hoping that there'll be a savage crowd there of Clare followers, and I really would think this time as well, even though Clare have missing so many top players from the recent years, I think Mac Fitzgerald has done a fantastic job with them. There's no question about that at all. I think the young players are hungry, for road, and there's a fair bit of ability there, and I think they will give Kelly a rattle, but it's great to have it at home anyway, and I hope the crowd will come in there and that we'll get a real match. If we get a real match, you take a defeat, but one of those few near real games, but Kerry pulled away by 15 points is no good. Is no good to us, and I don't think that will happen. One other thing I want to mention: proper order during the week. The Roland Keane's red card was rescinded from the 120 game. Very happy up our way anyway. But I think in general, it was unjust red card.
Justice has been done. Look, we wish all those lads the best of luck. Denny, look, thanks for your time tonight. Pat, thanks for your time. Sean, thanks for your time. We look forward to the games with Relish tomorrow and everyone hitting for Parky Cueve. Also, Pat, Munster Camogie semi final tomorrow. Clare again, Cork. Clare relegated from Division 1 up against it again.
I'd say that's an understatement, Leo. Up against it is probably a nice way of putting it. I'd be very fearful. Now, the surprises in the last game against Cork, that the diversion wasn't massive at all. But this is Championship, and I know it's only Munster Championship, only, which is a strange thing to say. But in Camogie, the Munster Championship isn't as big a thing as the All-Ireland, obviously, or near it. But it's a serious challenge with a team missing so many top players. So let's hope they really, really give a good count to themselves and you know, get Clare fans, the early arrivals into a good mood for the senior Clare hurling game.
And definitely that concludes our sports line show today here on Scariff Fake News Radio on 88.3 FM and 92.7 FM in association with Dark Credit Union. As I said, thanks to Sean, Pat and to Denny. Thanks to Jim Collins in the control tower. He kept the show on the road here for us this evening, or today. And thanks to you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the programme. And we look forward to the weekend. And all that remains is for me, Leo Dial. Until we meet again, it's Bannock Day, August 9.